I want to do a quick reminder, of what we've learned already. A quick reminder. So, just talked about something radical last night. She said that grace is, who can remember what she said? Violent. If you believe that's true, say amen. Okay. And she used the gospel scripture, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Grace is giving a gift that we do not deserve. The heart of the gospel message is that God gave by grace salvation through Christ alone, our cornerstone. Was the cross violent? The cross, his amazing love demonstrated, his amazing grace demonstrated at the cross. And I know it was difficult when we had to like share the gospel, but did you know your testimony is how you share the gospel? Because you know that your sins were forgiven by grace that was demonstrated in the uttermost awful, violent act on that cross, to where God himself could not move his hands. Think about that violence. So, Jess, I agree with you. At first, I wasn't sure, but then I had to think about it, and then we talked about it over dinner, and then I was convinced. Grace is violent, but here's what's true. It has to be, because God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. And so, though grace might be demonstrated in that act of violence to destroy our sin and to destroy death's power over us, it opens us up to bear the fruit of the Holy One, the fruit of the Spirit, so that when someone comes at me with their sin, I respond with a fruit of love, the fruit of peace, the fruit of patience, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of gentleness. You're mean to me? Here's some gentleness for you. The fruit of, what am I forgetting? Kindness, did I say that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Someone screams at you, a kind word turns away wrath and gentleness. That is grace that I cannot give by myself. It was purchased for me at the cross. Do you realize that we can be fruitful every single day of our lives by bearing the Holy Spirit? So, Tanya, next slide, please. The violent grace in action. Pinch, 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 pinch. Poor little guy. He's asking and begging, grace, grace. So I took Terry's acrostic, pinch, physical, incorruptible, new, Christ-like, heavenly, and she was referring to what? Our bodies, right? We get new bodies that are, they're going to be physical bodies. They're going to be incorruptible. They're going to be new. They're going to be Christ-like, and they're going to be heavenly. And this morning, we're going to be looking at what happens once we're resurrected or raptured with these frames that we're going to have, that we'll have no more sin anymore. And I decided that we really are, before we're saved, just crabs. Pinching people all the time. We just pinch, 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 pinch. And sometimes even after we're saved, when we walk in the flesh, we're just pinchers. But we want to be gentle pinchers, right? Because we're comrades. We've gone from crabs to being friends, to being comrades. And on one other note, so far this retreat has been so fun. I drove up with three first-timers in my car, and they had all these scriptures they were wanting to share with me, And every single one was on the subject that we're talking about. And I thought, Lord, I'm getting my own personal mini retreat on the way up. So I just wanted to give you that aside. One of the big benefits of coming to retreat is that kind of fellowship that you get when you go away with people. And some of you went potluck, you know, you didn't know who was going to be your roommate. Can I just say God bless you? That is very terrifying. And that song that Christine just played for us, you know, Walk Upon the Water, you did that. So let's give those people a hand. And then I want to also give one other shout out because somebody risked their lives for us putting these things up. And I have a feeling I know who she is. And it's not Ellen, but Ellen, when you taught us several, where are you? Raise your hand. You taught at a day seminar or something, and you said, you know, Priscilla and Aquila, you had some verse, but you know what? They risked their lives for the gospel. I'm telling you, this is risking your life for the gospel. So she's gonna remain nameless because that's we want her to have her crown in heaven, right? So let's give her a hand, too. All right, let's start it off. Christ our captain. This is what we're going to look at this morning. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28. I've broken it down into three sections. The captain of salvation sets our sure course. You can go back, Tanya. I want to read through the outline. And verses 24 through 26, the king of creation completes the Father's commission. And you know what he does? He destroys death forever. Vanquished. And verses 27 through 28, the constancy of the captain king. So with all that said, let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you that your blood purchased us, our perfection in you, so that you, holy God, could dwell in these corruptible frames at this point in your eternity. And we thank you that you have an amazing plan for each one of us in this room, and that you handpicked and called and made a way for every woman who's here right now to hear your word. We want to already say thank you for all that you're going to accomplish for the rest of this weekend, because you have work prepared before the foundation of the world for us to accomplish this weekend. And you will do it because you are the captain of salvation. In your name, Jesus, amen. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, that his name was Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead, his name is Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. Now, this is just really simple. Jesus died, and he rose again. And in this chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, the word raised is used 15 times. The word raised is used 15 times because Paul was making a point. It's used 16 times in all of 1 Corinthians. So 15 times in this one chapter. Now, I was thinking about this, like, I have a friend, and we're always usually on the same page. And when we were doing our discussion last night, she was stealing my verses from my teaching. But Jesus said this, and this is what my friend said last night. She goes, well, the simple answer is, Jesus said he's the resurrection. That is the simple answer. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am life. I am the way. I am the truth. The answer to that question about the resurrection and why is it important? It's because it's who Jesus is. He is the resurrection. So then I was thinking on my bed last night, why didn't Paul just say that? Why didn't Paul just say that simple fact? Well, I don't know. But this is what I think. Okay, this is just what I think. Paul wrote these letters way before the Gospels were written. Way before the Gospels were written. Before the Gospel of Matthew, before the Gospel of Mark, before the Gospel of Luke, before the Gospel of John. And I don't know, because we don't know this, But I'm sure they either heard about this or perhaps they read Paul's letter, and they're like, we better get to writing about the resurrection. We better get to writing what Jesus said, who he was. So the Gospels came after this letter. That I know for sure. But we have the Gospels. We have the Gospels. Quote from the Gospels. Quote Jesus. How do we know Jesus is the resurrection? He said he is the resurrection. And one other fact. He's the creator of life itself. How can the creator of life himself stay dead? It's completely an impossibility. It's completely an impossibility. However, he had to put on our flesh and be made perfect through obedience and perfect through sufferings because he loves us. And he knows that we're in pain because we're separated from God. So this is what it says in Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might, say it with me, it's on the screens, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory to make, say this loud with me, the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He did not have to go through our pain, but his love was demonstrated by doing that. Death could not hold life. Jesus is life. And then slide 6 would be Jesus declaring, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said this to Martha when her very loving brother Lazarus was dead. And she's in grief and pain and sorrow. And he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked her this question, do you believe this? So he's asking us that same question this morning. Do you believe this? And then 1 Peter says this, and it's so awesome that our pastor is going through Peter right now. And actually, Robert was like, I try not to say too much on this verse because I figured you'd use it. So here it goes. Blessed be the God and Father. Well, he didn't say it exactly like that, but... Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Ooh, here's a pinch word. Get ready. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in, start pinching. In heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation to be revealed at the last time. So now we need to take a look at our beautiful ship. Isn't that beautiful? All right, crew. Crew, we're the crew. We're simply the crew. We are not passengers. We are the crew. Have you ever been on a cruise ship? Some of you have. What do you think about, just shout out some things about the crew in a cruise ship. What do they do to your towels in your room? They fold them. They make them look like monkeys. La, 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 you know. Excuse me, can I have another Coca-Cola? Sure, here's 10 of them. You go to get the salon done, you know. They do this on purpose? Your 30-minute massage really always lasts like 45. They do these things on purpose. And most of these kids that work on these cruise ships are from other countries, like India. And I'm like, man, they have such a work ethic. It's amazing. And you're treated really like a king or a queen on these cruise ships. Well, we should be treating those people in the world like that. These people in the hotel who are serving us. You know, if you can do it, leave them $20 when you leave on the bed. You know, if you can afford that, treat the people in the world with God's love and his grace. Grace them. Love. Grace. They need it. And you know what they do when we do that? They go, you're too nice. Get away.
from me.
You know, it's what happens sometimes. At least it happens to me all the time. Well, not all the time. But so we're the crew. We're not the passengers. Now, my little grandson Dylan is at school in kindergarten, and this is their acrostic at their school. Crew. It stands for at his school. Oh, Nuts doesn't stand for that. Believe me, it's a secular school. I wish it did, though. Calvary Christian, they might have that acrostic for crew. But their crew, caring and kindness, respect and responsibility, excelling every day, and working together. Now, if we as Jesus' crew would do that, respect each other, you know, excel every day, and work together, what could this world look like? Now, I was going to have you do a little assignment of, you know, you make your own acrostic, but for the sake of the way this ship is moving today at warp speed, no, they don't do that. What do they? No, that's the Starship Enterprise. What did they? At knots. We're at full-bore knot, nautical miles. You know, I had ideas like Christ's resurrection, eternal weight. And my thinking was, Christ, you know, because he's resurrected, you know, we're eternally weighted in heaven, and my anchor just got stuck, which is kind of good at this point, because it kind of is the point, that our hope is anchored in heaven, okay? So bear with me. C.S. Lewis, who knows him? He wrote some children's book. Okay, he wrote one book called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And I love that name, the Dawn Treader, you know, the sun rising in the dawn and our boat is treading along. Well, one of the characters in that book, in that story, in that high epic story, that world was flat. And he was trying to ask the children who passed through into the ocean water through a magical picture, like, explain to me how your world is round. I don't get it. He was like, and he didn't use the word like because that's not how C.S. Lewis would write, but I'm just giving you the picture. How it cast me in the king asked, how is it when you are on a round world that you get to the other side and not fall off? He couldn't understand that. Like, how is it that you don't, if you're upside down, you don't fall off? Well, everyone in this room, literally, we are upside down and we haven't fallen off. If you think about the way the universe is, are our feet pointing to heaven? No, are they on the ground? Our heads are pointing to heavens, to the heavens. We look up to the heavens. And what this says in Hebrews 6:19, our hope and our assurance is secure in heaven behind the veil. So really, we're anchored upward in heaven, and Jesus is our anchor. And we're secure. No matter what storm happens here, we are secure in heaven. And we are the crew. So those are kind of the ideas I came up with for that. But then I thought, well, he is resurrected, and we need to do something now. We need to be active. So now you can go, Tanya. Isn't she great? You are so awesome. Yeah, I'll give her a hand. I don't mind. I don't mind stealing your reward. Okay. Christ's return eagerly waiting. So turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Sorry, Scott, for the feedback. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and get a partner and get a pen. I have an assignment for you. Circle your little verse 18. 18, and then circle verse 25. And when you're done doing that, hold up your Bible so I know we're all on the same page. And help the person next to you if they haven't found it yet, because we're crew and we work together. Everybody's got it. And then I'll know everybody's got it then when your Bibles are in the air and you are, like, ready to work. Have you ever walked into Walmart when they're having their crew meetings? Have you ever, or Target or one of those? And you're like, why are you having your meeting right where I need to be? You're in my way. Okay, looks like we all have it. Okay, here's your assignment. You can partner up. I want you to find out how many times in those verses it says eagerly wait and hope. And don't forget to pinch. And I'll give you 2 minutes to do that. Okay, so how many eagerly waits did you find?
Three.
Ooh, that was togetherness. That's good crew. My little grandson, you know, like if someone's not showing good crew in the house now, like if like my husband says something a little bit like, not that he ever says anything harsh, but if he's like a little annoyed with me, Dylan will go over to my husband and say, "Gramps, that is not good crew." So he gets it, you know, he gets this crew behavior is very important. Okay, so that is correct. Ding, 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 ding. How many hopes? Okay, five or six. Some maybe it depends on the version. So did you pinch someone six times yet? Get it done. Got to get it done. Pinch, 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 pinch. Don't worry. In your resurrected body, you won't have any bruises. And now, let's together crew, let's go ahead together crew and be filled with the Holy Spirit and ask him, did you know something? The Holy Spirit is the smartest person in this room. Think about that for a second. Do you ever feel dumb? I was born with a small head. I used to sit in junior high school and look in the mirror. Why is Renee's head so big and beautiful and mine just a little pinhead? Anyway, never mind. I have a small brain probably. Okay, so do you ever think you're just dumb? Do you realize you have the smartest person in the room inside of you who wants to direct your mind and have your mind set on him? It's amazing. So anytime you feel like you're dumb, or you're sitting in that room with that person, oh my gosh, here she is again, the smartest person in the room. Ask two questions. Lord, you're smarter than she is. Make me smart. And two, is her smartness because of you or because she just thinks she's smart? It's a good question to ask because if her smartness is because of him, then thank the Lord. And if the Holy Spirit says, no, her smartness is because of her, go pray for her. All right, so we're going to read this verse together, Romans 8:18. For I consider, together, ready? Here we go. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Pause. We are going to be revealed, and I'm going to be revealing something in just a minute about you. Here we go. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Pause. We're the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits, pause. We also have the first fruits of who? Okay, Jesus, it said in our 1 Corinthians passage that he was the first fruits of the resurrection because he is life, because he is the resurrection, death could not hold him. And Jesus himself said, unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it can't be raised in new life. And Jackie tomorrow, or maybe it's Jess, there is this whole section in 1 Corinthians 15 that says we were sown like a seed, sown in corruption and raised to new life, sown in this ickiness and raised to this. And I'm doing this because I don't want to. Am I stealing yours, Jackie? Okay, so I'm not going to steal it. Sown in this bleh, and raised to the high. and sown in this, and raised to, there's four of them. Four things that we were sown in and raised to. Amazing, I can't wait. Okay, but that means I'm eagerly waiting, right? Okay, sometimes, so what verse are we at? We paused at first fruits. So I just wanted to get that little tidbit of how Jesus is the first fruits. And because we are not life, we are not resurrection, we had to have someone to go first to accomplish that work for us. So he was raised first, and then we're either going to be raptured or resurrected, okay? So so let's go back to verse 23 and say it together. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So here we have our crew acrostic. We are waiting for Christ's return, and their response is eagerly waiting. We're eagerly waiting. We're not passengers. We're eager to serve him. We're eager to be filled with his Spirit. We're eager to share the gospel message. And again, it's your testimony. I heard everybody's testimony on the way up here. It was awesome. The glorious gospel of grace impacting lives, transforming them. Amazing. It was just the best, best, best. So if you haven't done that already, I challenge you to do that with your roommates. We have that luxury of time here. We really do. Here, say, okay, before we go to sleep tonight, everyone gets 5 minutes. I want to hear your story. I want to hear how and when Christ saved you. It was interesting at my little table last night, my little crew over there, wherever you are. Oh, hi, little gigglers. It was really interesting because those of us who met Jesus at a very young age, we did not have that difficulty of believing in the resurrection. It just made sense to us as a little child, which I thought, well, okay, faith is a little child. And then those of us at the table who maybe got saved older, that was a challenge to believe in the resurrection. So that's just sort of an observation I had. All right, now here's what's going to happen next to us, okay? This is in Zechariah 14 through 5. Tanya, you don't have this slide. It says that, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, Christ is the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, Jesus is coming again to earth. But before that, we're going to get raptured. And we're going to be in heaven during the tribulation, celebrating the marriage supper with the Lamb. I'm not going to get into too heavy, deep end time stuff, but we are going to meet with the Lord in the air. And then we will be with him, and the tribulation will be happening here on earth. And then he's going to come back to earth and put his foot on the Mount of Olives. And this is what it says that's going to happen. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of the battle. So this is at the end of the tribulation. And then in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north and half of it toward the south. The Lord will come, and he will come with all his saints. Okay, so did you catch that? We're going to be in heaven for just a little bit, just a little bit. And then we're going to come back to earth at the end of the tribulation. Now, here's what's amazing. Amazing. We have our new bodies. We won't have any sin. We won't be selfish. We will be perfect crew. But we're going to be crew for the people who make it through the tribulation. The tribulation, there's going to be some tribulation saints, most of them Israelis, who make it through the whole tribulation. They will still have a sin nature. And they will be living on earth at this time for 1,000 years. And we will be ruling and reigning with them. They'll have their squabbles and their debates, and I'm convinced I'm going to be like the governor of Yuma. And and this one's going to be fighting about that, and that one's going to be fighting about this, and they're coming before me, and I won't have favoritism, I won't take sides, I won't have a sin nature, and I will be able to say, this is it, now go your way, be in peace. Because this kingdom is Jesus' kingdom of peace, and he rules from Jerusalem, and it says he doesn't even have to rule with his eyes, because he sees into hearts. Now, I don't know exactly how that all works out for us, but we will be able to, you know how you judge somebody and then realize you were so wrong? That's not going to happen to us. We're going to have our glorified bodies. We will know how to weigh and measure things. We just will for 1,000 years. So we're going to get to see little babies again be born and watch this happen. And what is so fascinating to me as you study this, Satan is bound for this 1,000 years. And do you want to know something? People still won't follow Jesus, even though he's the king on earth, with Satan out of the way. There's some people who still, in their sin nature, won't choose them. And what does that show us? We can't blame things on Satan. Though he is tricky, and he wants to kill us, and steal from us, and destroy from us, if we're left to our own sin nature devices, and he's like down the street working on someone else, we still need to choose Jesus on a daily basis. And some of these people, at the end of this time, when Satan is let loose, he comes and he does a deception, and he tries to have a whole nother war. And you know, they try to have another war, and you know how fast Jesus stops it? That fast. Done. Bye. So, I want to go to our second point. We are eagerly waiting, and we are a crew that has to do. The King of creation completes the Father's commission. We have the Great Commission right now to share the gospel, but Jesus had the Great Commission of vanquishing our enemies, sin, and death. And he did accomplish that on the cross, but there is a point in time where death is going to meet up with time and space and be no more. Kind of like the bugs on the I-10 freeway up here. You were going 102. Now, I have this question. Does anybody hate bugs on your cars? Raise your hand. Okay, of any of you, did you already go to the car wash to get them off? Anyone in this room get your car washed? Two of you! I knew it! I knew it! There, I knew that's what's going to happen to death. Squish, wash. Squish, wash. Just gone. Death is going to be completely vanquished. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 28 through 31, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Now, different commentaries say different things about this. I'm kind of the camp that this is him collecting Israel to himself. And then in Revelation 26, it says, blessed and holy is he who is part in the first resurrection. That's us, first resurrection, because we're going to be resurrected or raptured. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, on your tables, there's some travel magazines. See if you can find, not all the tables have them. If you have a travel magazine, raise it up. Raise it up. Some nice destinations in your hands. I know there's like Ireland and Europe and Tahiti. Yeah. Let me see what you got out there. Let me take a look. Oh, my God. My table has Tahiti. Woo! Heaven on earth. Let's go now. Okay, just think about it. We have all these travel brochures, and some of you are flipping through going, whoa, I need a vacation. I want to go here. We want to go to heaven. We want to go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. And the Bible is our travel book. It's It talks about heaven being a place where there's no more tears. And there's these beautiful places. So I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 11. And I need one person at every table to be an artist. And at the top, get a piece of paper out. We got to do this fast. We are going to make a travel book. Because we're the crew of the Heaven Travel Agency. We're heaven-sent travel agents. Raise your hand if you're the artist. And stick figures are perfectly fine. At the top of your paper, I need you to listen to the instructions. We are going to draw the Millennial Kingdom, because that's heaven's one of our destinations, but also we have a destination to be on earth during Jesus' reign of his kingdom of peace, okay? So that's one destination that I think as Christians we forget about. We just think heaven, 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 but we have work to do for 1,000 years. There's a lot to get done. So we're going to draw that destination because it's going to be really nice. And, you know, if you are, I don't know, like the Queen of Baghdad or something, you know, ruling and reigning from Baghdad, I bet it's going to be really nice and 72 degrees all the time. Okay, so here it is. This is what you're going to draw, okay? This is what you're going to draw. I'm going to read something from Isaiah. There's going to be animals. There's going to be children. There's going to be a king. So you're going to draw as fast as you can. And then, this is what the rest of your crew gets to do. They get to put their names on your drawing because we're a good crew and we work together, and they get to, you know, it's kind of like when you're in school and that one kid, you're teamed up in the group and you're like that, you're the one kid who does all the work and everyone else gets credit for it. That's called grace. Okay, so your whole table is going to get credit for this drawing. Okay, so here we go. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. The earth is a good thing to draw. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So we have a person. Who is Jesus? He's got a belt on. Beautiful. Now here's the amazing part. Well, that's pretty amazing already. But the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard, just look at Joni's outfit today. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion. And a fatling, don't draw me, the fatling together and a little child shall lead them. Okay, so you got some animals there going on that are enemies now, and a little child is leading them. You got your pictures so far? Okay, wait, there's a little bit more. The cow and the bear shall graze together. The young ones shall lie, their young ones shall lie down together. So if you draw a bear and then a cow and then make little ones next to them, okay? Okay. And the lion shall eat straw? Yuck. And then the nursing child, check this one out. The nursing child shall play with the cobra's hole. Does that just make your heart stop thinking about a nursing child playing near the cobra's hole? They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord. And the waters will cover the sea. Beautiful picture. Now, what I would like you to do with those pictures, Again, have them go around your table, and you all need to sign them and make sure your table leader has them. And table leaders, I need every single picture. I need every single picture. And you can give them to me after we break for our lunch. So you can work on your picture a little longer if you want. Isaiah 25:8 declares this, and Tanya has a slide for us. He will swallow up death forever. He will swallow up death forever. He will even swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from the earth. For the Lord has spoken. And we find out that death is doomed. Absolutely, death is doomed. On the count of three, as loudly as you can say it, we're going to say death is doomed. One, two, three. Death is doomed! Amen to that. Finally, we're going to look at the constancy of our Captain King. This is verses 27 and 28. And I would like one of you to read it. Be brave and be bold. Verses 27 and 28, the constancy. You'll do it. Thank you.
I'm on the wrong page. Okay. 27 and 28. Okay.
For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will absolve? Will also be sober to him.
Subject
who,
to him. Mm-hmm, you're doing great.
Put all things under him that God may be all in all.
Amen to that. All right, next slide, please. Now that sounded a little circular because Paul was making a very sure point. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's been the Son of God from the foundation of the world. He will remain the Son of God forever and ever. He's delivered us in Colossians 18 and 19 from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. And then Jesus himself says in Revelation, don't be afraid. I am the first. I am the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever, evermore, amen, and I have the keys of Hades and death. Now, I want to finish with something a dead senator said from the United States Congress, and it's about ships, and we're here developing relationships, And we have our best friend Jesus. And my best friends, what I love about them is they love Jesus first and best. Jesus is their best friend, and they give me Jesus. So I've modified this a little bit. It says, there are good ships, and there are wood ships, and there are ships that sail the sea. But the best ships are friendships, and in Christ our captain, they will always be. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says this, now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And I can't tell you, for us who are here, we miss Lisa. We still do. It's more real this year than last. I think last year we were running on adrenaline. I'm just going to be a really little bit personal here. But her last retreat was on faith. And then the princess of her life saw a vision to do this retreat on hope. And we as a women's ministry, you know what we're doing, right? Becoming a woman who loves. And we see the perfect fingerprints of the perfect captain of salvation in our lives, who's speaking perfect friendship into our lives so that we can minister one to another. Now, I have some application questions, and we'll just leave them on the screen so that we can take a little break. And you can just look at them and see, has God moved you? So, Tanya, can we see those application questions, please? How does Jesus' sure course and promise that you will be resurrected from the dead or raptured keep you anchored in the hope of heaven when things of this world weigh you down? What one new thing did you learn about your future with Jesus today? And finally, have you been challenged to be part of Captain Jesus' crew rather than just a passenger waiting to get to destination heaven? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you alone are our destination. It is in your mighty name we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, Jess is gonna.
Yes. All right, thank you, Kristen. Sailing by our captain. All right, so right.